As Begin later wrote, quote, "There are times when the choice is between blood and tears. Sometimes, as our revolt against the oppressor taught us, it is essential that blood should take the place of tears. And sometimes, as the Altalena taught us, it is essential that tears should take the place of blood." Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 203, Altalena. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. We set out on a journey to fight and to suffer for you. We brought the spirit of liberty, a ship full of arms, to free you. But how you received us, by God, I will never forget. We dreamed about brothers in arms and met the cannon's shell. So wrote Raphael Kirsch in one version of the translation of his Hebrew poem. Kirsch was a crew member of the Altalena, an Irgun ship named for Jabotinsky's pen name that arrived on the shores of the Holy Land in June of 1948 bearing badly needed arms, as well as some 800 individuals prepared to fight for the newborn Jewish state, only to experience Ben-Gurion ordering the IDF to fire upon the ship. The poem captures the reason why the Altalena episode still remains raw as a subject in Israel. And, if one truly wishes to experience the lesson and legacy of this moment, one should look to Frischmann Beach, where a memorial has been set up for the Altalena, along with words said at the time by Menachem Begin. These words in Hebrew are, Milchemet Achim Leolam Lo, never a war between brothers. These words capture the greatest moment of Menachem Begin's life and also embody all that Jerusalem represents. It was on June 11th that a temporary UN-negotiated ceasefire went into effect in the Holy Land. Agreeing to the ceasefire, as the book O Jerusalem makes clear, was a massive strategic mistake by the Arab side of the war. Both sides regrouped, importing weapons, and this set the stage for Israel to hold on to the parts of Jerusalem that it still held. It was also in June that the Irgun ship known as the Altalena set sail from Europe, bearing arms and ammunition for the fledgling Jewish state. Menachem Begin had sought to have the Altalena turn back, worried that its public arrival would be problematic for the official embrace of the ceasefire. But because of communication issues, the Altalena continued its journey. In order to understand all that would unfold, we must comprehend the fact that at this point, the Irgun had been folded into the IDF with one important exception, Jerusalem. Because according to the UN resolution, Jerusalem was technically meant to be international. Therefore, there the forces of the Haganah and the Irgun remained separate, even as they joined forces in fighting for the city and its future as part of the Jewish state. As the Altalena headed toward the Holy Land, a disagreement ensued between Begin and Ben-Gurion as to the allocation of the arms, Begin asking that 20% be allocated for Irgun forces fighting in Jerusalem. As it came ashore, according to the agreement with Ben-Gurion, at Kfar Vitkin, and with the Israeli Defense Forces surrounding the ship, a boy, assisting in the unloading of its cargo, worried aloud that those coming ashore from the Altalena might be fired upon. Menachem Begin assured the boy that this was inconceivable. As he said, Jews would not shoot at Jews. As a moral principle that Jews should not shoot at Jews, this was a notion that defined Menachem Begin's life and his worldview. But, as a prediction for that day, it proved badly mistaken. As the Altalena landed at Kfar Vitkin and former members of the Irgun unloaded its arms, a firefight broke out and the Altalena fled back to the Mediterranean, landing at Frischmann Beach in Tel Aviv on June 22nd, with Begin now aboard the ship. There, David Ben-Gurion ordered the shelling of the Altalena. In the end, 16 members of the Irgun were killed. Standing on the ship while being fired upon, with dear friends of his dying, Menachem Begin ordered those aboard the Altalena not to fire back, as he did in his radio address soon after, famously declaring Milchemet Achim Leolam Lo, never a war between brothers. The Altalena sank, with much of its arms lost forever, and Begin went on the radio, ordering his seething followers not to seek revenge. After wrongly predicting 2 days before that Jews would never shoot at Jews, Begin was enunciating an even more extraordinary principle, that Jews that listened to his orders would not shoot at Jews, even when other Jews were shooting at them. As I argued in Commentary Magazine, in my column describing this incident, the story of the Altalena embodied Begin's greatest moment. The survival of the newly born state was anything other than assured, and shooting back, however justified the self-defense might have been by the crew members of the Altalena, would have torn the people apart. Yehuda Avner describes hearing a speech by Begin explaining his motivation in ordering that no one should return fire. Begin said, quote, 20 centuries ago, we faced the bitter experience of the destruction of our second temple. the destruction of our capital, Jerusalem. And why? Because of our senseless hatred of each other, a hatred that led to civil war and to our utter ruin, b'chiyah l'dorot, end quote, meaning a weeping for generations. That is what happened in 70 CE, but this time, thanks to Begin, civil war did not take place, and the nascent state of Israel survived. Today, Begin's greatness in this moment is recognized by many, and Begin's stubborn refusal at the time to allow for firing back, as well as his banning those that followed him from engaging in revenge, is, with the hindsight of history, even greater considering, as Avi Shilon writes in his biography of Begin, that Begin's reaction was seen as weak at the time by some Irgun members. As Begin spoke of the Altalena incident on the radio, he wept for his comrades who had been killed, and he was mocked by some for this. But for Begin, the weeping for those he loved replaced the rage that could have fueled civil war. As Begin later wrote, quote, "There are times when the choice is between blood and tears. Sometimes, as our revolt against the oppressor taught us, it is essential that blood should take the place of tears. And sometimes, as the Altalena taught us, it is essential that tears should take the place of blood. This should be remembered, particularly by those who shelled the Altalena and killed its men and shot at those, including wounded men, escaping from its flames." End quote. In other words, Begin was saying that he was willing to wage war and revolt against the British mandate. But when it came to his fellow Jews that embodied part of the newborn Jewish state, there he was willing for his tears to take the place of civil war. Avi Shilon further tells us that after the killing of members of the Altalena, one former Irgun member proposed to Begin that Ben-Gurion be assassinated. To this, Begin immediately replied, quote, "If you want to kill Jews, you had better shoot me first," end quote. This, of course, embodied a sense of Jewish unity that Begin had, that Ben-Gurion, at this moment, did not have. And it marks the greatest moment in Begin's life, one which allowed the Jewish state to survive. As I further noted in commentary, herein lies a lesson. Leaders are usually remembered for what they achieved, yet often their greatest moments can be found in what they chose not to do. Thus, we in America speak of George Washington as the father of our country, and we recall what he accomplished, expelling the British from Boston, crossing the Delaware in the dead of night, defeating Cornwallis at Yorktown. We remember how Washington was the leader of the Constitutional Convention and first president of the United States. Yet it may well be said that all of these achievements pale in comparison to Washington's decision following his astonishing victories to not seize power, to resign his commission. In today's democratic age, we take this moment all too often for granted, but Washington's resignation was rightly understood by his enemy George III, who famously said something like, "If he does that, he will be the greatest man in the world." Similarly, we remember Menachem Begin for what he did, the strike on Osirak, peace with Egypt, leading a rebellion against the British. Yet, it is Begin's actions during the Altalena episode, what Begin asked his fellow Jews not to do, that was his greatest achievement. Begin himself, after retiring from political life, understood how central the Altalena was to his legacy, reportedly reflecting, as some recount, that he hoped to be remembered first and foremost for preventing civil war. Today, a small stone stands near Frischmann Beach, bearing the names of the 16 aboard the Altalena that were killed and emblazoned with Begin's declaration, Milchemet Achim Li'olam Lo. All too few notice this memorial and focus on a tourist attraction that is nearby, a statue of Ben-Gurion standing on his head, one of the most popular photo sites in Tel Aviv. As the Jerusalem Post notes, quote, "It's likely that few of the people taking selfies with quote-unquote the old man realize that right behind it is the site of one of the seminal events of Israel's early history," end quote. As I further noted in commentary, a memorial has been established at the grave of the Altalena's dead, but it is only visited by those that know the story already. But those visiting Israel today as tourists need to learn about the Altalena, because Begin's actions embody one of the most important moments in the history of the Jewish state. As we have seen in Jerusalem 365, and as Begin understood all too well, Jerusalem fell in the past because of civil war, but there would be no civil war here. The ceasefire in June would soon end, and Israel would make one more attempt to capture the old city of Jerusalem. For Begin, it was critical that some of the arms of the Altalena go to the Irgun soldiers fighting for Jerusalem. But in the end, the arms on the Altalena were largely sunk and are still at the bottom of the Mediterranean. Yet Begin understood that even saving Jerusalem could not come through civil war. For as we have seen, Jerusalem, the shared city between the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, is meant to reflect the bond between members of the chosen people. And this meant that Jerusalem is supposed to constantly remind us of the metaphysical bond between Jews. For Begin, this bond signified that even weapons for Jerusalem's defense could not be attained through civil war between Jews. This means that in refusing to shoot back, in ordering his men not to shoot back, Menachem Begin reflected the very essence of Jerusalem. As Begin concludes his chapter on the subject, quote, "And so it came to pass that there was no fratricidal war in Israel to destroy the Jewish state before it was properly born. In spite of everything, there was no civil war," end quote. We mourn the members of the Altalena that were killed. We celebrate Begin's greatness, reflected in a moment which perhaps more than any other in modern Israeli history embodies what Jerusalem is all about. This is Meir Soloveitchik, wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, looking forward to learning together next week, signing off.